Welcome to the River of Life Family Discipleship Sunday, and we're going to start today with a testimony. It's going to be about a person coming to salvation, and we do this in 3 minutes, and it's not easy. It takes a lot of time practicing to make this happen, but Joanne, would you come?
Good morning, church. Like he said, it's not easy.
Ready?
I am ready. Thank you, Lord. So I used to wonder, what on earth am I here for? Why do I feel so hopeless, so helpless? Why do I have this dark cloud? Will it ever lift? Why won't I ever get a happy ever after? You know, I was such an angry woman that even on the hottest day, you couldn't even get a teardrop of melted ice. Anybody relate? When I was 12, my parents divorced. Because I was such a daddy's girl, it was so devastating. My security was just totally rocked. So I began to look for love in all the wrong places. See, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll make you pay way more than you ever wanted to pay. So fast forward with lightning speed. I'm married now and I have several children. And my husband comes home and says, we're going to church next Sunday. Peacefully or not. Praise God. Somebody in our lives drug us somewhere. Thank God he drug me to church. That's when life began to change. Although I wasn't quite changed because I was not very nice to my pastor. And I would have rude comments sometimes and wasn't very nice. But you know what? He still was kind. He was still respectful and he still loved me anyways through all of that. His was unwavering. And one day he asked me, he said, if God is good, do you think that? I said, well, he's supposed to be. He said, okay, so is Satan bad? And I said, well, of course he is. He said, well, then shouldn't your anger be towards the one that caused it? Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's almost completely accomplished that in your life. Pastor says in Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In other words, our battle isn't with men. Our battle is with the enemy. Our battle is with the spirit behind them. And if we begin to follow God's plan instead of Satan's plan, things will radically change in your life. Well, radically change they did. Kind of like country music. If you play it backwards, you get your life back. You get your house back. You get your family back. Pardon me if you like country. Listen, if God could take this woman at ill repute, who was beaten and abused, and turn me into a bright, full of life, redeemed woman of God, he can restore you as well. Don't wait until, like I was, standing at hell's gates, wondering what it is in hell I want. Tell hell to shut up. Ask Jesus to step up. Step up into your life, and you will never be the same. Amen.
All of that was 7 seconds to spare. You know, when we practice what we're called to do, we're so much better at the delivery. I've heard people stand up to share their testimony in 30 minutes and not say what she said in 3 minutes. And we have to apply ourselves. We have to practice. Everybody that you're going to hear from today on this topic of fear not long ago was afraid to share their faith. But God has set them free. So if you're afraid to share your faith, God can and will set you free. How much of the body of Christ is afraid to share their faith? About 90%. Because statistics tell us 90% of all born-again Christians have never led a lost soul to Jesus. And it's because that same 90% never try to lead a lost soul to Jesus. And it's because they're afraid most of the time. It's fear. The other thing that kind of ties itself in with fear, its cohort, is a thing called pride. Pride might say to you, well, what is that clerk going to think of you if you tell him about Jesus? Pride will talk you out of sharing your faith. It's a partner with fear. So we're going to continue with the topic for today. And our first speaker is going to be my beautiful wife, Carla. And all of our speakers get 6 minutes. And you can't have any extra time. I'm sorry. But our topic today is, as you go, fear not.
Second Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, we know there's a spirit of fear, but it said God did not give it to us. And see, there's different types of fear. It could be low self-esteem, self-pity, inferiority, feelings of being unworthy. You see, the enemy, he wants to stop us, and his greatest weapon is fear, so he's going to use that weapon. I heard a saying one time, fear knocked, faith opened, and there was nobody there. So Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Hebrews 12:28b says, "Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear." So we can have a godly fear. God wants us to do something, and we have to have a fear that if we don't do it, we're in trouble. We just have to have that reverence for him. So we can exercise our faith to overcome our fear. We were down in the Orlando area a few years ago, and we were at our favorite place, Dunkin' Donuts. We were going to eat outside, and we were sitting there, and there was a table next to us, and there were some people talking, and this lady comes along, and she starts talking to the people next, that table next to us. And I heard the Lord say, "I have a word for her." So I was waiting for her to get done talking. Well, then she went inside, I guess, to place an order. And I thought, okay, I guess when she comes back out, you know, I'll give her this word. Well, she comes out. She came out kind of fast, and she starts going around the side of the building. And so your mind can go a million miles an hour. Well, she's gone. I guess I'm off the hook. Yeah, can't do nothing about it now. She's out of my sight. Or can I exercise my faith and run after her? Okay, I think I'll do that. So I ran around the building. So when I get around the building, now she's walking and she's getting ready to go through this gate. Again, the thoughts are coming. Now she's going through that gate. Might as well let her go. God will understand. All kinds of thoughts. Or can I use my voice and say, "Hey, wait a minute." I chose to use my voice. I said, "Hey, wait a minute." So she stops and she comes back towards me, and I said, "I have a word for you." And so the Lord gave me the word to speak into her life. And it was a word that she needed to hear. And she thanked me. She hugged me. A blessing could be stolen if I didn't run, use my voice. But she got blessed because I delivered what God told me to deliver to her. In Psalms 147:11, it says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him." So he wants us to obey him, to have that reverential fear. In Psalms 19:9, it says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." And that phrase of the Old Testament means a reverential trust. One time I was in Walmart, and there was a lady standing there. We were looking at the costume jewelry. And she's like, "Oh, what do you think about this bracelet? Does it look like it's a little bit, you know, I'm older, so maybe it's a little too young for me." I said, "Hey, if you like it, it's fine. You know, I said, I think it looks nice, you know." I said, "We need a little bling sometimes, you know." So she said, "Okay." And I said, "You know what? I have something for you." So I reached in my purse to get a book to give to her. And she takes it, and she's looking at it, and she's like, "Is this one of those religious things?" And I'm like, and I didn't, you know, for a minute I was stunned. And she's like, "I don't want anything to do with that religious stuff, you know." And I says, "No, it's about relationship." I said, "It's about things that people go through in their life. It's a relationship thing." She's like, "Oh, okay, thank you very much." And she walked away. So I was getting ready to go to the checkout, and all of a sudden these thoughts come. Oh, she's going to come back with that book, and she's going to sling it at me saying, "How dare you give me this book, because it is so about religion." And I'm looking over my shoulder, and I'm thinking, any minute now this book's going to come at me. She's going to tap me on the shoulder and say, "How dare you?" And I had to shut the enemy down. That's all he does all day long. You know, he's got a million things to try to stop us. And I had to exercise my faith again and tell him to shut up. Let me alone. And I had to pray for that lady to be blessed, that the God was going to have something in there that she needed to see. So we, you know, he has weapons, but we have greater weapons. And we just have to use them, you know. And there's times when he does stop us, but we have to repent when he stops us. And we have to, Lord, please help me the next time to get it right. So exercise your faith. Use your feet. Use your mouth. Use your ears. Do whatever it takes to get the gospel into the people's hands so they can be blessed. Thank you, Jesus.
Moving right along. We're going to have a popcorn testimony in a little bit. Popcorn testimony is when we say, somebody here, we'd like you to share for 2 minutes how, as you went, you loved someone, how, as you went, you heard and obeyed the voice of God, or maybe how you took a couple of books and you passed them out as the Holy Spirit led you. So we'll be opening it up. Man, I'm tying myself out. So we'll be opening up for that in a little bit, but we're going to go ahead with our second speaker, and that would be Joanne.
As you go, fear not. I don't know about some of you, but I like acronyms because sometimes just that one word and that acronym, slam it home, you don't forget. So fear, F-E-A-R, it's false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Those of you history buffs, you might remember that Franklin D. Roosevelt, his words were, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. I have another quote that I like is by Marie Curie, who nailed it. And she said, nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood. Now's the time to understand more so that we may fear less. Yet fear is one of our most debilitating emotions known to man. It can be extremely powerful for some. Anybody know anybody that just stays home because they're so afraid to go outside? It penetrates the heart, it poisons the spirit, and it paralyzes the soul. It can affect you not only emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, but it can affect you physically. See, understanding your faith in today's world and sharing it can be very scary. But we have to understand we are victors. We are not victims. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Carrie's word, we need to understand more so that we may fear less. It has special meaning to me. See, I'm 54 years old. I don't recall a time where fear has been so in hurricane proportions. So many of us are intimidated by this world that we won't even mention the name Jesus. We won't even carry a Bible. We're afraid of what people might say. How do I know that? I used to be one of those people. I was afraid. It's my desire this morning to help you, encourage you to stand up, step out, step up. Because you know what? Somebody's life may depend on it. The same God that spoke you into existence is the same God that will calm your fears. And you ask how? Well, it's when you humble yourself and go before him and simply ask, God, calm my fears. And he will. Just like he calmed the storm when Jesus said in Mark 4, God will do that. Jesus is his son and he's going to do the same for you. Are you not children of God? Jesus spends much of the 12th chapter in Luke reassuring and encouraging his followers in the face of possible catastrophe and circumstances. He said, I tell you, friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that can do nothing more. Verse 4, he said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Verse 22, he goes on to say in verse 32, which are my favorite words, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. For me, one of the most powerful parables on fear comes as the angels minister to Mary when she learns she's going to be pregnant with the Savior of this world. Totally baffled and devastated, no word could have meant more. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. It's in Luke 1:30. It also was spoken over Zechariah when he was terrified, and the angel appeared before him in the temple, and he said, do not be afraid, for your prayer has been heard. And the shepherds, terrified when they were brought into the story of Jesus and the birth, they received the same word, do not be afraid. I am bringing you news of great joy. See, the angelic greeting comes with incredible consistency throughout the Advent story. The same greeting, the same command, repeated over and over again. Fear not, Mary. Do not be afraid, because the Lord is with you. Simple, but so profound. The Lord is with you. You can't make a mistake. He's bigger than any mistake you could possibly make. The antidote of our fear, faith in God, who is actively involved in the lives of his people, a God who, he protects us. Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood. Now is the time to understand more so that we will fear less. Let's seek to understand the plan God has for us. Jeremiah 29:11. Let's the angel's words that Mary continue to echo in your mind and in your heart. The Lord is with you. So let me wrap up with this thought-provoking and challenging parable. You have $86,400 in your bank account. Woohoo! But somebody came and took $10. Would you be upset and throw the other $86,390 away in hope of getting back at that person? Okay, no, I'm not really too crazy at the moment. I said at the moment. Would you move and just be happy? You still have $86,390. Okay, so moving on. You have 86,400 seconds in every day. Do not let someone's negative 10 seconds ruin the rest of your 86,390 seconds. So many things happen that are so good, and we focus on the one. Don't let the enemy steal from you anymore. Amen.
Okay, who has a popcorn testimony of how you shared a book, how you loved somebody, how you heard and obeyed the voice of God? If that's you, run up here. Since nobody else moved, I knew you would.
Okay. All right. Just recently, in the last 2 months, we went to a steakhouse in our town, and at the end of our, when we ate out, the waitress came up and we gave her a tip and a book, and so we were getting ready to go. We got to the front door, and my kids said that they had to use the bathroom, so we went back, and she stopped me, and she said, "Why did you give me this book?" And I said, "Well, the Lord told me to give it to you." And she said, she was just overwhelmed, and she was crying. And I can't exactly remember, you know, what we said to her, but I think we might have prayed for her and left it at that. And about a week ago, I got a text from her, and she said, "I really need to talk to you about your story, and I want to meet with you." And so her name is Jenny, so pray for Jenny. Pray for her salvation. But these kind of stories happen all the time when you're giving out real life story books. God just makes a way, and you'll get phone calls. You'll hear from people. So I just praise the Lord for that.
As you go, fear not. Jim Cates, would you come?
Get angry and go for it. The enemy is going to keep you busy, busy, and stupid busy. If you manage to press through that, he is going to throw fear on you. He will give you every possible reason to not give that person a book. Every possible reason to not say something. But just know, those are the tactics of the enemy to prevent you from doing your task of winning souls for Jesus. The first time God asked me to witness to someone, I was walking to work when an old man drove up and offered me a ride. I was supposed to ask him if he knew Jesus, but fear hit me from the spiritual and kept my mouth shut. My mind fought with it, couldn't reason why the fear was there. The guy let me out at his house, and fear hit me again, and I said nothing of Jesus. I thanked him and went on my way. I was walking the rest of the way to work, and an ambulance raced down the street past me down the direction of that man's house. I don't know if the ambulance was for him or not, but I don't ever want fear to silence me like that again. These days, busyness is the struggle. I have so much that needs to get done, it's overwhelming. But I set aside time to seek God's counsel on what is priority and what is not. I pray throughout my day. I am a scatterbrain with 20 things going at once, so I need his counsel to focus on the important things and to not get off track. It's the spur of the moment things that happen that I am really thrown for a loop. That is where fear often jumps into the situation because I am not mentally prepared for that. It has often gotten the best of me. I've been sideswiped by the enemy's attacks too many times. I've been silenced too many times. And someone has or may have suffered the ultimate consequence for it. I get angry when fear tries to get on me now. I get spitting mad because I am immediately relive all the loss suffered from those attacks, and a rage builds up in me that I can't describe. Let's just say adrenaline kicks in and I must go for it. That person is getting the gospel message if I have to take a bullet. I do not value my own life more than someone Jesus wishes to save. Even if it's the smelly and annoying homeless person that repeatedly comes into my workplace, if that person is precious to God, then he or she is precious to me. Fear is not from God. So get angry. If you and God are both angry at the same things, you are in agreement and something can be done about it. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God does not have any fear in him. If we are in him, we should not have fear in us. He commands us not to fear. That commandment is given 80 times in the Bible because it is the enemy's number one weapon used to nullify God's people. It is how the enemy's camp functions. Remember, the two kingdoms are polar opposites. God's kingdom operates in faith, hope, and love. The kingdom of darkness functions in fear, hopelessness, and hate. So when depression tries to get on you, the kingdom of darkness has got you to believe a lie and come in agreement with darkness. And now, he's gained a foothold in your life. Be wise to the tactics of the enemy. So when God says, fear not, he is saying, don't have any part of the kingdom of darkness. Weeks ago, I had a bunch of issues that needed dealt with at my new residence. I had a shopping list of things to get and try to fix situations and had to shop around. In the midst of running all over town, I kept running into people I know but hadn't seen in a while. Then all of my purchases were either discounted or came in with a rebate. 11% off at one store, 23% off at a meal at a restaurant. I had to do my laundry yet, and seeing as I was walking in favor this day, I decided to go for it and strike up conversation at a laundromat. I've never been to this one before. I brought in a book, and I asked if I could put up a book display. The lady was super friendly and said, sure, as long as it's not in anyone's way. Then I found a quarter in the parking lot. I probably should have raced to all the places I wanted to put up a display at that day because I was walking in favor that day, but I did have a lot of things that needed done at home and daylight was quickly fading, so some battles are postponed for another day. In a sense, fear is what kept me from visiting my cousin at his parents' house. I did not want to intrude, so I repeatedly tried to get permission to come over to see him, but permission never happened. I asked once or twice a week, every week, for 8 months. Even the day before he passed, I was pleading with him and his parents. I don't blame myself. I did what I could and did not overstep anyone's boundaries. But there was an underlying fear that kept me from just going over there. I knew the situation was dire, which is why I was on the phone with him multiple times a week. I called him and explained how to pray, how he can hear from God, that God loves him, that he's my best friend, many people loved him and would do anything to help. I gave him encouragement, but he had already given up. I had fear trying to stop me from explaining how God loves him, but my heart was so full of concern for his life that I pushed through that fear at that time. I said, fear or no fear, he needs to hear this now. I don't know if he will be alive when I hang up with him. So it was beyond super important. Fear tries to butt into everything we are attempting to do for God. God's love must be stronger in our hearts than a fear, and we must learn to recognize that fear and directly from the fear's enemy's camp.
Would I be correct in saying there was a day where fear would have stopped you from sharing your faith?
Yep.
You had to work at it, haven't you? You've had to learn it, right? It doesn't just come natural.
Right.
Amen. Moment of truth. How many here would admit that you're afraid to share your faith? Everybody that has their hand raised, please stand. Thank you for your honesty. Is there anybody else who would like to stand because you have really been afraid to share your faith? Fear stops God's people all the time. I can't tell you how many times it stopped me. But when it does, I just simply go to my knees and I repent. Lord, help me to do it next time. And you know what? I get better at it the next time. It still stops me occasionally, but the more I practice, the more I trust Him, the more I depend on Him, the better it's getting all the time. Everybody on our team is afraid to share their faith at one time or another. You could be seated. The devil works very hard at stopping us with fear. But you don't have to allow it to stop you. You can press on. You can press through that thing. So now I want to invite the dance ministry. Very appropriate song for today, called The River. I want to read to you a text that I got yesterday. This is from a fellow who's living in Canada, and he is in our Lighthouse 7 edition book. Hi, Jim and Carla. Pray with me, please. I am taking 6 cases of Lighthouse 7 books to my old church. There will be 550 to 600 people there between Sunday and Saturday morning. The pastor and elders have agreed and given me permission to introduce them to our books. And I will be telling them how using the books, real life stories, have helped me to bring 6 people to the Lord in the last 26 days. There was a day not long ago that Dan was afraid to share his faith. His breakthrough came when he wrote his testimony and we published it in a real life storybook. The first several months he used the book, it was hard, but he kept pressing in, And now souls in Canada are coming to Jesus because he's overcoming the fear. Now, does fear still come upon him? If he was here, he would tell you yes. It's a constant battle, but he's fighting the battle and he's winning and getting victorious. And the results are that souls are getting saved. And that's what it's all about. So it doesn't matter if you stood and fear has stopped you in the past. It's what are you going to do in the future? And the best way to get set free of fear is write your testimony to the glory of God and put it in God's hands so he can start using it to reach lost souls. Amen? We're going to continue now with As You Go, Fear Not, Jim Spaulding.
Thank you, brother. As you go, fear not. Now, I know he asked everybody to stand up that was fearful of giving their testimony. I think everybody is, if they're honest. Some of us just don't worry about what other people think of us, right? Have you been delivered from that? Do you care what other people think about you? You go to work, do you care what people think? See, I think that's important. So, as you go, fear not. Why are we so easily put off when it comes to sharing our faith? I think one of them is a lack of training. We get saved, we go to church, do we have anybody teach us how to share what Jesus did for us? Because what Jesus did for you, nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can ever take what he did for you away. God took drugs for me. He took them away and he told me you'll never need them again. See, when I become born again, I became a new person. So why fear people? Why fear people? I also think it's because our minds mess with us. You know, God will tell you, go say something to somebody, and immediately your mind messes with you. And I'm not dissing on anyone because we all have weakness. There's not a soul that has no weakness. We all have pride, fear, uncertainty. So our answer is focusing on what God says. We have to listen to what he says instead of what we think. God says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. You hear that? He's with you. He never leaves you or forsakes you. He is always with us. He said, be not dismayed, for I am your God and I will strengthen you. Yes, I will hold you and lift you up with my righteous right hand. You're always arm's length away from God. He sees you wherever you go. So you don't have to fear. His presence. We have to remember we're always in his presence, right? He'll never leave us or forsake us. That means his presence is always with us. Doesn't matter whether you can feel it or not. Amen? Too many people live by their feelings, right? Look at society. Well, I feel. I don't care what you feel. Your feelings will get you in trouble. Amen? If we do what we feel like we're supposed to do, none of us would be here, right? We'd be having church at the bedside inn. I like to call it. I'm sorry, that's one of my little cliches. You know, sharing my testimony wasn't always, and it's still not easy, but we've learned to do it by giving out books. We went on vacation, best vacation ever. Went to California with Jim McCarla. Now, if you guys know these guys, they are champions at handing out books everywhere you go. But what joy it brings you to know you're putting a gospel in somebody's hand, and you didn't have to confront them. You just let the book do it. Once we read the book, they're alone with the Holy Spirit. And how many knows it's not you that saves, it's the Holy Ghost that saves, because you can't do it. You can't save anybody. We went to the Covered Bridge Festival, passed out books. What an amazing time. Prayed for people. Don't have fear in doing it. He told us not to be afraid in Isaiah 44:8. Have I not told you from the time and declared it that you are my witnesses? You're his witness. He already said it. You don't have to convince yourself. God said it. That settles it. You know, the Bible says that the wicked flee. The wicked flee. Or a man flees from man. We don't have to flee from man. Because we're righteous. Because he saved us. It's not in and of ourselves, but it's of him. I like that. Because I know I'm a mess. Right? I'm saved, but I'm a mess. Anybody else confess that? We're all a mess. And we need to understand it. But we need to understand that God said don't fear. He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Power means dunamis, which means dynamite. Stop and meditate on that for a minute. You meditate on that word, dynamite. Why do you fear? Why do we fear Satan? And don't tell me you don't, because I'll tell you you're lying. Why do we fear? Why do we fear another man? Why can he take away your birthday? Seriously, can he take away your birthday? Your spiritual birthday. He can take this flesh away, but then you win. We all win, right? So as you go, don't fear. Recognize it, overcome it, and speak the word.
Thanks, sir. Just want to take a moment to tell you about two things that are out on the table. First one is You Can Hear the Voice of God by Steve Sampson. Next to the Bible, pretty far away, because the Bible is the ultimate, this book changed my life. When I received it, when I was first saved. And I learned how to hear the voice of God. It totally revolutionized everything. Highly recommend this book. It's out on the table. The other thing that's out there is the series that you've been hearing. But this is all 12 parts complete. It took us 2 years, but it was completed just a very short time ago. It's a 12 DVD set, and that's also available out on the table. And now I'm going to invite my young friend Jim to come back. Where are you, Jim? And he's going to do what we call an evangelism moment.
I set out to give every employee at Charlie's restaurant slash deli slash gas station a book. It took over a week, but I got a book in the hands of every employee, even the owners, with the help of the Holy Spirit, of course. After everyone already had a book, I figured it should be safe to ask if I could put a book display in their store. They said yes. Now every time I go in there, people's faces light up. Hey, you're the one that writes book or brings the books, right? I finished the first one and started on the next one. I had copies of 5 and 6 when I went in there. I left the case with my mom while in Tennessee. She said she didn't need more than a handful. In 1 month, she gave away an entire case. I gave a small handful to my dad, suggesting he could do someone good by giving them a book of hope. He reluctantly took them. 2 weeks later, he asked me for 10 more. Then, just 3 days in, he calls me telling me he's out again. He is starting to see how hungry people are for the truth and hope. I have gotten permission to put up 3 book displays so far, and I'm working on more. Even years later, they are still taking books from the displays. They are reading them, some even passing them on to others. In just the past 2 months, I have been extremely privileged to give out 4 cases of books. It has been a long journey getting there. It used to take everything I could muster to give away 1 book a week. I was afraid, it took extra effort, and I allowed all the things the enemy would throw at me to stop me from pressing through. But when my best friend of 31 years committed suicide, even after I prayed with him, I got spitting mad at the enemy. I said, this means war. The devil is going to regret that. Starting that night, I went for a walk and gave out a handful of books at 10 p.m. Gave out a case of books the following 2 weeks. I went from maybe 3 per month to 60 in 2 weeks. The trick is getting to a point where it is habit to bring books with you every time you get out of your vehicle or go for a walk. There is always going to be someone crossing your path that you can offer hope to. The number of books going out has fluctuated since then, but the books keep going out because I set in my heart and determined manner to give as much hope as I can to the lost and dying world. I am so tired of watching people die not knowing if they knew Jesus before it was too late. As long as I brought the message of hope to them, then at least they had a chance to accept Christ. It is best if we can pray with those who might accept Jesus because we can stir them in the right direction, but the Holy Spirit can do that too. Either way, get the gospel to them. That is what matters each day. Remember the parable about the 3 men with the talents? 2 men gained more for the kingdom. 1 only kept himself and was called wicked. The best thing you can do is bring someone into his kingdom. And you know, it feels pretty darn good to go home each day knowing you impacted lives today. It's that little extra effort that turns someone's situation around forever. So don't give up. The souls are coming in. The Holy Spirit is using this in a mighty way to bring in the lost. God is in this. And where God is at, I want to be also. I give books, get permission to put up a book display, get the gospel out there. They are receiving it. God is moving right now. Don't miss this opportunity.
Thank you, Jimmy. Beat me up, brother. Nothing like timing yourself out. Can you put up those pictures, 2019? That's a pink Jeep tour. That was a blast. We just got back from there. Go ahead to the next one. That's our family enjoying a little cool water in the heat of the day. Go ahead to the next one. That's the Grand Canyon if you've never seen it. Go ahead to the next one. That's some of my family out going horseback riding. Go ahead to the next one. That's Carl and I by Zion National Park. Go ahead to the next one. 114 degrees this day. They're doing a little tubing. Go ahead to the next one. That's Carla at the pink Jeep tour, and you see two ladies behind her with books. Go ahead to the next one. That's our tour guide. Gets a book. Go ahead to the next one. That lady was so overjoyed to get that book, and then she went and took a dozen more and passed them out to the other co-workers in the restaurant. Go ahead to the next one. These two guys were just so blessed to get books. Go ahead to the next one. Another tour guide. Go ahead to the next one. That was in Las Vegas there. Go ahead to the next one. You mean you go to that sinful place? To share Jesus, yeah. Go ahead to the next one. It's in a Vegas restaurant. Go ahead to the next one. And the next one. And you get to see beautiful things like this as you travel. Go ahead to the next one. Now, this is really special to me. This is one of our granddaughters sticking a book in a door of a business about 6 o'clock in the morning. Go ahead to the next one. Another one of our granddaughters. We went out a couple of mornings in a row and we passed out about 150 books in that downtown area. And go ahead to the next one. When we got checked in, we had 10 books, cases of books waiting for us at this hotel, and she helped us to get them, and we gave her some of the books. The enemy would have you think that it's fearful to share your faith. I'm saying the devil's a liar, and it's fun to share your faith. You just have to be equipped properly, and you just have to have the right tools. And the truth is, your story, your testimony makes the devil shake. It makes him shake. The devil is afraid of you. Don't bow to him any longer. Rise up. Write your testimony to the glory of God. Put it in a threefold pamphlet. Get it into a book and start carrying those books around. And you watch the devil go running. He will go running. The devil's afraid of you. He's like a roaring lion. But he's not a roaring lion. You are the roaring lion. The Lion of Judah lives inside of you. You are the roaring lion. The devil's an imposter. He's a fake. He's got a little meow. That's all he got. And Jesus got that mighty roar. Mighty roar. I want to ask you to consider something. Consider leaving here today with 7 of these books in your hand. 7. One for each day of the week. And just go out of here and say, Holy Spirit, I'm really afraid to do this. And it'd be truth in many cases. Everybody you heard from today on our team used to be afraid. And fear still gets on us at times, right? If we're being honest, fear still gets on us at times. But we've got to learn to press through and overcome that fear. But prayerfully consider taking 7 books with you today. And just say, Holy Spirit, I'm not too sure about this. But I'm going to trust in you. You help me to do this. And I'm going to go to 7 people I meet this week, out in the world, out in the workplace, and I'm going to give each one of them a copy of this real life storybook. Think about that for a moment. Can you bring up that one called Love Packages? That van is loaded with 20,000 books. 20,000. And those books Oh, lost my note. Here it is. Those books were taken by love packages and distributed in the Bahamas, in Barbados. It's a book just like this one, 20,000 of them. They went into Belize, Ghana, Guyana, India, Kenya, Nigeria, the Philippines, South Africa, Thailand, Trinidad, and Uganda. These are the stories of people who used to be afraid to share their faith, and God's now taking them to the nations. When you write your stories and we help you to print a book here, God's going to take your stories into the nations. You will impact the world. And you can say, take that, devil! And if you put up that Lighthouse 7. This book, you pastor prayed last time we were here about this book being translated or interpreted into the Spanish language. It's in the works. It's in the works. And by November, that book in the Spanish language will be in print. And here's the other part of it that just happened 2 days ago. Love Packages, who took our books to all these other countries, is going to take them into 6 South American nations. 6 South American nations. Why am I telling you all of this? Because this is bigger than we are. If you will do your part to write your story, to be in a book for this work, for this church, God will take it around the globe. But first you have to write it for His glory. Amen? Last thing. How many of you will grab 7 of these books as you leave here today and just simply say, Holy Spirit, I really don't know how to do this, but I'm willing to do it if you'll help me. How many are willing to do that today? Stand up. If you're willing to grab 7 books when you leave here, 7 books when you leave here, and just trust in the Holy Spirit to help you to touch a lost soul. I thank God for everyone that's standing. But you know what? I also thank God for everyone that's not. Just stay standing a minute. Because God is going to somehow use every person in this room. Some of us may stand quicker than others, but at some point, God's going to touch the heart of everybody here, and you're going to go ye into the world. But you got to take the first step first. And for many of us, the first step is simply writing our testimony to the glory of God, or getting 7 of these books and carry them with you when you leave here today. And allow the Holy Spirit to help you to use it. And let me just add this. Even if you didn't stand, you're apprehensive, you're afraid, before you leave here, just simply say, God, do you want me to take 7 books with me today? And then obey Him.